The COVID-19 pandemic has caused widespread anxiety about what used to be common daily activities, like going to the grocery store or getting a haircut. Now, Bowling Green area residents are using social media to share information about businesses that are using safety precautions and others that are not following guidelines for masks or social distancing. For WKU Public Radio and NPR One, I'm Rhonda Miller. The public Facebook group is called Safe Places to Patronize in Bowling Green, Kentucky. Retired engineer Tom Morris says it's grown to 2,500 members in 2 months.
Actually, it kind of started on a whim. Somebody had posted something about, you know, it'd be nice to know where we can go that's safe. And I said, well, somebody ought to start a Facebook group about safe places to patronize, you know. And I said, well, heck, I'll start it.
Morris says he's gotten positive feedback.
Businesses that are doing things right really appreciate it because we're helping them survive this terrible time.
Morris says a few people have been removed from the site for posting rumors or political views, but the vast majority follow the mission of the group to post firsthand experiences that can help prevent the spread of COVID-19. I'm Rhonda Miller in Bowling Green.
For WKU Public Radio, I'm Barbara Deeb. In South Central Kentucky and across the nation, there's an increasing demand for truck drivers and medical assistants. A federal program offers paid training in those specialties. Rhonda Miller has this story of one career advisor who has her office wall lined with success stories of people who often arrive in a financial crisis and walk out with a new lease on life.
At her desk in the Kentucky Career Center in Bowling Green, Amy Settles offers a chair to Tim Woodard. He's 6'6", neatly dressed, and ready to go to work.
I just lost my job at Bendix.
I'm sorry.
Woodard, who's 59, was laid off from working on the assembly line at the brake manufacturer.
So you filed for unemployment?
Mm-hmm.
Have you gotten your first check yet?
No.
Or not yet? Okay.
Woodard heard about the training for a commercial driver's license, or CDL. Settles goes over the requirements for paid training through the Federal Workforce Innovation Opportunity Act. She tells Woodard he will probably qualify. She doesn't waste any time getting the required documents about his layoff. She dials the Bendix number and hands the phone to Woodard.
Thank you for calling Bendix Spicer Foundation Break.
2 weeks later, Woodard is back at the Career Center with everything ready for him to start the CDL training at South Central Kentucky Community and Technical College. He says Settles and the rest of the staff made the process go smoothly.
They like family, you know. That's the main thing. Because they care about you. And that means a lot.
Settle says the goal is to help each person get on a career path that's right for them.
I do push them a little bit, but sometimes that's what people need. You know, someone to just give them that push and to encourage them. You know, everyone needs their personal cheerleader. That's what I say I am. I'm just your personal cheerleader.
She says many people who come in have been through hard times.
I've worked with homeless people, people who need help with recovery from addiction. We help with people on public assistance. We help with folks who are reentry from prison and jails. But open arms. I don't judge.
26-year-old Sarah Threet says Settles helped her get into a paid training program at the Medical Institute of Kentucky.
Amy helped me get all that set up, and then also got reimbursed for my mileage and child care.
Now she has a job as a clinical medical assistant at Western Kentucky Heart and Lung. Amy Settles is part of the Career Team, a workforce services company contracted by the South Central Workforce Development Board that covers 10 counties. Since July 2018, the Career Team has helped 160 people get into paid training programs. That includes 42 in the clinical medical assistant training at WKU and the Medical Institute of Kentucky. In addition, 10 people were trained in phlebotomy and 4 as pharmacy technicians through WKU, and 104 have been through the CDL training. One of those is 30-year-old Kelly Sanders, who got a job at Charles DeWeese Construction in Franklin, Kentucky, the day after she completed the CDL program. At 4:30 on a Thursday afternoon, Sanders has parked her truck after a workday that began at 5:30 in the morning. Sanders is 5'5", wearing a yellow neon shirt, with her blonde hair in a braid. Before this, she had another career.
I was working for myself, renting a booth, doing hair. I'm a master cosmetologist. It was just too unstable for me. I had to keep 2 or 3 jobs just to make ends meet.
She was $2,000 behind in her rent. A friend told her about the CDL program, so she went to find out about it.
Amy came out and met me, Amy Settles from the Career Center. So when I talked to Amy, I was literally in tears. You could tell she just felt for me, and we sit there and talked, and I could not have been around a better person. You know, we were meant to meet that day.
Soon after she began driving a truck a year ago, Sanders paid the $2,000 she owed for back rent. Then she got a bigger apartment.
And so how do you like truck driving?
I love it. I love it. You feel free. You're just on the road all day. It's independent.
And on some days when she's not behind the wheel of a truck, she sees clients at the hair salon. For WKU Public Radio, I'm Rhonda Miller. Poringa Resources, based in Perth, Australia, will offer the Poplar Grove coal mine in McLean County for sale in mid-June. The sale will also include the nearby undeveloped Cypress mine and other business assets. The Kentucky Mining Project is operated by Poringa's wholly owned U.S. subsidiary, Hartshorn Mining Group, which declared bankruptcy in February. According to Poringa's first quarter report for 2020, Hartshorn issued worker adjustment and retraining notifications, called WARN notices, to 160 employees in February. That reduced the workforce to 44 employees. Hartshorn reports that it has initiated increased hygiene practices related to COVID-19, including health screenings, infection control procedures, and restrictions on non-essential travel. For WKU Public Radio, I'm Rhonda Miller. The future of recycling in Warren County remains unclear now that residents no longer have curbside pickup of recyclable aluminum, glass, paper, and plastic. Changes in the international market for scrap materials and the coronavirus have created double trouble for recycling. For WKU Public Radio and NPR One, I'm Rhonda Miller. The international recycling market ran into a roadblock when China stopped importing plastics and other materials in 2018. That roadblock has hit Warren County, which stopped curbside recycling pickup last week. Southern Recycling General Manager Keith McKelvey said the challenge of finding markets is the main reason the company decided not to seek to renew its contract with the county. Warren County Environmental Planning Coordinator Stan Reagan says finding another recycling company is likely to be difficult.
We intend to ask for proposals, but given our deadline and the sorry state of curbside recycling programs and commodities, I can see the possibility of not having anyone come forward with a proposal or those proposals being inadequate and costly to customers.
Meanwhile, Southern Recycling initially said it would take recyclables dropped off at its Warren County facility through July 31st when its contract ends. But that option has been suspended until further notice due to the coronavirus. I'm Rhonda Miller in Bowling Green. Charles Booker says when he was growing up in the West End of Louisville, he remembers his mother going without food so he could eat. Booker says, in his opinion, big corporations get too many tax breaks while many working people struggle to make ends meet. He says Medicare for All and other programs that allow people to be healthy and productive members of society benefit the whole state.
A lot of the issues that you see in Appalachia and parts of Western Kentucky are very similar to the West End of Louisville, and that's important because we need to show how we're all in this together. Lack of access to internet opportunities, food insecurity, working multiple jobs just to struggle. I'm a type 1 diabetic. I've had to ration my insulin.
Booker has represented Kentucky's 43rd Statehouse District, which covers part of Jefferson County, since January 2019. For WKU Public Radio, I'm Rhonda Miller. As COVID-19 surges across Kentucky, new statewide restrictions prohibiting indoor dining for bars and restaurants go into effect Friday, November 20th at 5 p.m. Those restrictions last through December 13th, and they've had a major impact on one popular Bowling Green restaurant. For WKU Public Radio and NPR One, I'm Rhonda Miller. Teresa's restaurant in Bowling Green is known for home cooking, but the restrictions during the pandemic have caused financial strain, and the newest rule that prohibits indoor dining is the last straw, at least until December 13th. Owner Heather McGuffey says the restaurant has no outdoor dining and takeout isn't a good option, so she's decided to close Teresa's when the rules go into effect. McGuffey says she's worried about her 20 employees.
I'm hoping that they can draw unemployment. From what I hear, the government's not going to do much help this go around. We have told our employees we will try to do anything we can to keep them going and up, and anything we can do for these next 3 weeks, and pray to God that this is going to be over in 3 weeks and we can all get back to life.
There will be no Thanksgiving dinner next week at Teresa's, when the restaurant usually provides between 300 and 400 free meals. I'm Rhonda Miller in Bowling Green.